Support comes from the Columbus Jazz Orchestra, Tony Award-winning singer Debbie Gravett, and the CJO perform a night of classic show tunes with a jazzy twist in the program. Big Band on Broadway, Thursday, March 14th through Sunday the 17th at the Southern Theater. Details and tickets at jazzartsgroup.org.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Jobs Ohio is the semi-private, quasi-private, maybe we need to talk about that, job creation operation started by Governor Kasich in 2011 to replace the now-defunct Ohio Department of Development. Jobs Ohio has received both private and public funding, but when it comes to the process of auditing how state money is spent by this quasi-public agency, it's unclear where State Auditor Dave Yost's job begins and ends. After months of behind-the-scenes negotiations last week, Yost issued a subpoena for Jobs Ohio financial records. Governor Kasich says that it's complicated. Meanwhile, Ohio House Speaker Bill Batchelder said last week that he believes Auditor Yost is overstepping his authority.
He doesn't have that authority to go into a private corporation and audit it. I'm waiting for him to try to get into Chrysler Motors or Fiat, whatever they call it now. You know, we bought a lot of those cars this year. Where'd that money go? What's going on over there?
And by the way, everyone involved so far is a Republican. Joining us in the studio to talk about Jobs Ohio is Karen Kassler. She's Bureau Chief of the Ohio Public Radio Statehouse News Bureau. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Good morning.
Also in the studio is Joe Varden. He's Columbus Dispatch public affairs reporter who covers the Kasich administration and who has been writing about this disagreement over the legal status of Jobs Ohio for some weeks now. Welcome, Joe.
Good to be here.
And joining us by phone as well, Representative John Carney, a Democrat representing Clintonville and parts north of Franklin County. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
To our listeners, we requested an interview from someone at Jobs Ohio, but did not get a response either way. We also reached out to Speaker Batchelder's office for comment, but did not receive a response either way. We also reached out to AEP, the only known private contributor to the Jobs Ohio coffers. They declined to participate. So where is funding for Jobs Ohio supposed to come from? What was the idea back in 2011, Joe Varden?
Wow. Okay, where to begin? Well,
because I know it's complicated.
Indeed. It is indeed complicated. We will try in this hour to make it as simple as possible, and I am sure I will fail in trying to do that. When they set up Jobs Ohio, the intention all along was for this private entity to be funded from what is left over via a complicated lease of the state's wholesale liquor profits, in which Jobs Ohio would lease the state's revenue stream from liquor, pay off the bonds, give the state of Ohio a bunch of money for several different reasons. And then whatever was left over, Jobs Ohio would have to spend on economic development. The assumption or the targeted amount left over for economic development every year was supposed to be about $100 million, an unprecedented amount.
In other words, much more than the Ohio Department of Development ever had to use, or not necessarily.
Well, not necessarily, but you just have to remember, you can't really compare apples to apples when you're talking about Jobs Ohio versus the Department of Development, because the department was so big and did so many different things that there was money going there that Jobs Ohio would never need or would never spend for those reasons.
For example, the Department of Development did tourism.
Right. Well, tourism actually ended up remaining with the state, but there was a time where Jobs Ohio was considering taking that over. But things like weatherization.
Right.
And don't ask me to explain anything more than that because I wouldn't be able to. But I know that was one of the issues. Weatherization was something development did, and now Jobs Ohio isn't looking at that.
So is when you say an unprecedented amount, $100 million roughly?
Yeah.
Why do you call it unprecedented?
Well, because that is just more money maybe than anyone in the country has to use specifically to attract or get present businesses to expand in this state. I mean, that's really what Jobs Ohio is supposed to do. And $100 million. I mean, wow. I still don't know exactly how they are going to spend all of that money.
You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about Jobs Ohio and a few of the conflicts revolving around it. You were just listening to Joe Varden of the Columbus Dispatch, Karen Kassler of Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau. What is Jobs Ohio supposed to do with that money?
Well, there's the whole idea of taking the money that was originally intended and really using it for job creation and job retention, also marketing
that?
The state,
okay.
and trying to lure business here. I mean, that was the whole idea in the beginning, was to eliminate the Department of Development, which a lot of folks thought wasn't working the way that they wanted it to work, and create this entity that could kind of invest in companies, bring companies to Ohio, lure companies here, and to do it in such a way, the public-private part of this implied that there needed to be some protection that these companies could have so that their negotiations wouldn't be something that other companies could look at. This whole idea of trade secrets and making certain things private, at least in the interim. And that's, I think, where we're getting into a lot of the questions here is how long should these deals stay private? And really, why should these deals stay private? What's the state of Ohio getting out of these deals when we're not getting a whole lot of information?
So the money now, what's it supposed to go to? Little things like paying Jobs Ohio salaries. We know
how many
that
people work there.
26 people, a payroll of about $2.8 million.
That actually was corrected by Laura Jones,
who
discussed Joe Varden's article extensively. And she says there's 21 people working there now.
Well, $2.6 million payroll for 21 people.
Okay. All right. I mean, in the only financial records that have ever been released about Jobs Ohio, there were 26 people. So that's fine.
Absolutely.
So $2.8 million in salary. They cover travel expenses not only for Jobs Ohio employees, but for state employees doing economic development related business. And then so that equates to about somewhere just north of $3 million. They spent a total of $9 million. So, you know, that's $91 million left. What's that supposed to go to? The stated purpose is for supplemental loans to businesses that might want to expand or locate in Ohio, and also to fund some various worker training grants.
Representative Carney, what is your understanding about what the Ohio General Assembly has approved in terms of funding through the normal ways so far? What do you know about Representative Carney?
Yes, this is Representative Carney. Can you hear me, Ann?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
So what was your understanding of what the Ohio General Assembly had approved for Jobs Ohio?
So the General Assembly had approved $1 million and then authorized the securitization of these liquor profits. Obviously, the liquor profit securitization has been held up in court. So they had $1 million in funds from the legislature. And, for your listeners, the legislature has the authority to appropriate money to the executive. And so I think what has created a lot of concern as of late is this $5 million that apparently Development Services has gone ahead and appropriated to Jobs Ohio. Now, you can't, as an agency, move money unless you go back to the legislature and either through the normal process ask that money be moved around, or you go to the controlling board and ask that money be reappropriated for another purpose. And so I think what's caused this concern as of late is it appears that Development Services has gone ahead and move money over to Jobs Ohio that the legislature did not intend to send to Jobs Ohio. And taking the comments from the speaker, I find it interesting that he says, we're not going to audit Chrysler, we're not going to audit Fiat. Well, Chrysler and Fiat would not go to Development Services and think they could just draw $5 million from a state agency. It looks like Jobs Ohio wants to be private for certain purposes, but wants to be public for other purposes. And I think that is certainly a source of problems from the perspective of the members of the General Assembly, at least my Democratic colleagues and hopefully my Republican colleagues as well, that, one, if you want money from the General Assembly, you need to come and ask for it and do it in a transparent way. Second, you can't act like a public entity when you want to and then act like a private entity when you want to. And I think that's concerning as well, especially as you see private money coming into Jobs Ohio and public money going out, and clearly a lack of transparency with respect to who's making private donations to Jobs Ohio and then what public money is going out. And so I think, you know, the public deserves clarity around these issues.
You called for a state audit last week, but the state auditor has been working to get access to the Jobs Ohio financial records for some time now. Did you know there was a problem already there?
When they initially put Jobs Ohio together, myself and other members of the Finance Committee expressed great concern about the idea that public money would be spent by a private organization in a way that would not offer transparency to the public. Obviously, from my perspective, sunlight is the best antiseptic to government corruption. And so you want to make sure that taxpayers have the ability to see, of the money that has been collected from them, how is it being spent to their benefit? And Mr. Kwame at the time, who was running Jobs Ohio, indicated that they did not want to share their deal structure, that would somehow put Ohio at a disadvantage if individuals saw what sort of grants they were providing to businesses in order to keep them here or relocate here. So it was suggested at that point, I mean, obviously the United States military has a lot that they don't want to share publicly, but there's still a legislative oversight committee that sees everything that they're doing and makes sure that there's a check for the public to ensure that that money is being spent appropriately and in accordance with the wishes of the Congress and of the public. In this case, the legislature abdicated their responsibility and said there was no need to provide that sort of oversight. And I think clearly there is. And the question is, why isn't the Kasich administration coming forward and demonstrating to the public that they're spending the money appropriately? Why are they pushing for greater secrecy around the money? If everything they're doing is in accordance with the best wishes of the public, there shouldn't be any reason why they don't want to publicly demonstrate that they are doing things above board.
Representative John Carney, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Ann.
John Carney, he's an Ohio a member of the Ohio House from the 22nd District in basically northern Franklin County. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation about Jobs Ohio. So stay with us. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
This is 89.7 NPR News, and it's 50 degrees in downtown Columbus with some rain. Expect rain throughout the day and a high of 55. There's a chance of showers for tonight as well, a low of 34 degrees. A slight chance of some light snow on Tuesday, turning into rain by the afternoon and a high of 41. Some light snow possible Tuesday night and a low of 29 degrees. Support comes from Ohio Northern University, investing in the success of its students by offering more than $58 million in scholarships and financial aid annually. Nationally ranked academics and a 92% job placement rate are hallmarks of an ONU education. Explore Pharmacy Day is March 16th. ONU.edu. And support for 89.7 comes from Home Instead Senior Care, helping families eliminate worry, reduce stress, and reestablish personal freedom. Serving Central Ohio for over 16 years. More at homeinstead.com or 1-800-4-SENIORS. Home Instead Senior Care. To us, it's personal. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're discussing Jobs Ohio. It's Governor Kasich's quasi-private job creation program that ultimately replaced the Ohio Department of Development. At his State of the State address last month, Governor Kasich lauded Jobs Ohio's accomplishments thus far.
Jobs Ohio has been able to work to diversify us, and it's clearly working. And now that we're funded, we think we're even going to get more out of Jobs Ohio than we've seen so far.
Jobs Ohio, however, has had its troubles lately, too, with funding, with questions about how much it pays the people who run it, and with an ongoing conflict over how much authority the Auditor of State has to audit the operation and how much of a right the citizens of Ohio have to know about the details of Jobs Ohio. Still with us is Karen Kassler of Ohio Public Radio Statehouse News Bureau and also Joe Varden of the Columbus Dispatch. Joining us now is Rob Walgate. He's Vice President of American Policy Roundtable. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Good morning, Ann. Thanks for having me.
American Policy Roundtable is a conservative think tank that most people would imagine is in line with the governor's plan to use Jobs Ohio to create jobs. He wants to protect the privacy of the companies that have donated money to the cause. What's the problem?
Well, when we step back and look at it, Ann, we have to ask ourselves the question, what is the role of government? And does the governor and the speaker and others in Columbus, with capital R's next to their name, do they feel the role of government is to create private entities? Because that's what they've done, or that's what they've intended to do. And they want to be able to create something, but then not be allow the people to follow the money trail and what happens inside the entity that they've created. If it's such a great thing, are they saying that what the government needs to do is create more things?
Well, the other issue that conservatives may take with Jobs Ohio, and in fact they have, is simply that you've got this government-created entity, as you've pointed out, and then on top of that, Jobs Ohio has chosen the 8 or 9 sectors that this loan money and their focus is going to go towards. So, you know, it's just a simple case of basically picking the winners and losers, which conservatives, traditionally don't like.
Well, this governor and this administration has a track record of picking the winners and losers and taking care of the people that they want to take care of. So when Jobs Ohio was created, we had grave concerns of it, just the same that we did with Third Frontier. And now when you escalate it to Jobs Ohio, the transparency issue, and when we look back to what Speaker Batchelder and the court said 13 years ago in regards to a very similar case, it kind of makes us scratch our head to wonder why an opinion has changed so much over 13 years.
What's the similar case?
Well, the similar case was the courts had to decide whether the auditor had the ability. A state appeals court made a decision 13 years ago of whether the auditor had ability to follow money and audit a private entity where public dollars went. And Joe, you can, or Karen, feel free to correct me if I misspoke there. But that was the case from 2000, and the court ruled that indeed the auditor had that authority.
This is Third Frontier?
Yeah, this is...
Okay.
What was the private entity? Because Joe and Kathy Kandinsky wrote this article on Saturday in the Dispatch, and it's great.
We took up quite a bit of our Friday night getting this in the paper on Saturday. Yeah, there was a case 13 years ago in which then state auditor Jim Petro, wanted to audit a private company. Basically, as part of a larger audit of Summit County's books, the private entity was getting some money from the county at the time, and the court on which Speaker Batchelder sat ruled that indeed Petro could have access to this company. The speaker's spokesman says that the difference is back then we were talking about trying to chase down the books of a public entity, and in doing so could also get some access to a private company. And now the audit would be specifically focused on what they say is a private entity in Jobs Ohio.
But again, Joe, sorry to interrupt and jump in there, but I find it interesting that the legislature feels they have the authority and the governor feels they have the authority to create a private entity. Jobs Ohio would not exist if it wasn't for them. So what they're saying is, as the legislature and as the governor, they can create any private entity they choose to.
Well, he ran on this. He did. And so, this component of your argument While certainly, I mean, it's a valid viewpoint, but he ran on this. It was not a surprise that he privatized the Department of Development, and he won. A plurality of voters essentially believe that he could do this.
He privatized this department, but we keep going back to the governor whenever we talk about it. So the governor of the state still can run in the show, right?
Isn't that something?
So is that private or not? I don't know.
We have to ask question. If the legislature creates it, can we call it private, especially if the legislature finds the funding mechanism for how it's to survive? Doesn't the public have a right to know and see what happens? Because we can call it private all we want, but as long as tax dollars are being used to prop it up and to pay for salaries and do everything else, how private is it?
Right. Mm-hmm. We're having
and
to.
How private is it? Is it going to go? You know, the court had a great line in that 2000 case where they said otherwise an underhanded public official could easily establish a web of conduits and launder public money without apprehension. In the interest of good government maintaining the public trust, the state auditor must be able to follow the money trail. And again, Joe and Candy did a great job with that article on Saturday morning, and I think it's important to take a look back and ask ourselves, would the governor, would the speaker, would the Senate president, would they all be in agreement with this and creating private entities, in their words, if people with capital D's next to their name were running the show?
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. You were just hearing from Rob Walgate. He's vice president of the American Policy Roundtable. Still with us, Joe Varden from the Dispatch and Kieran Kassler from the Ohio Public Radio Statehouse News Bureau. So what is private? That's one question. What is auditable then is another question. This thing with Auditor Yost, it's been going on since last summer.
It's been going on for months and months. There's no question about that. The auditors people actually contend that at the beginning, the fight was not over whether or not Dave Yost had the authority to fully audit Jobs Ohio, but over whether or not a full audit would damage Jobs Ohio's ability to negotiate with businesses. They say that it has since evolved into a question over what he has access to. And what's brilliant about this entire ordeal between Yost
brilliant's and the a compliment,
yeah,
you know.
Between Yost and the governor is that they are fighting over whether or not the auditor has access to private documents, private funding. And yet at the same time, there are questions being raised over the public funding component of Jobs Ohio. And the governor is saying you should have access to all the public funding of Jobs Ohio.
And so that's where Yost comes in and says that he put out a statement on Thursday saying the private bond proceeds trace directly back to the public money. And so there's that idea of if it's all mingled together, what is public, what is private? And if this is a entity that's doing state business, the governor is talking about it, and, you know, it becomes a very public concern.
So does the question then become, Rob Walgate, is this an appropriate role for state government?
Well, to create a private entity, that's the question we have to ask from the beginning. Is this the role of government, to create private entities? Do they have the authority to create private entities that then don't go under the microscope to see where the dollars are being spent? What is being transparent? There was a lot of concern when this bill came up and a lot of discussions were happening on the fact, as Joe and Karen both mentioned, that they're not subject to open records laws the way other government agencies are. So they don't want to be a government agency, but they want to follow both sets of rules. They'd like to get the funding and keep the money, but they don't want to have the transparency and be held accountable to the people that are footing the bill. And that's not right. And someone's got to take a stand. And I know you're going to have Brian on next segment to talk about his lawsuit and what they're doing to fight that and prevent it.
By the way, if you're just joining us, we did request an interview from someone, anyone, at Jobs Ohio, but they did not respond to our request. Multiple requests. We also reached out to Speaker Batchelder's office for a comment, but we did not receive a response either way. We also requested an interview with someone at AEP, the only known private contributor to the Jobs Ohio coffers. They did respond and declined to participate.
You know, one thing that I find really interesting in all this, Rob Walgate, Rob, we can call you a conservative, right?
Please don't call me a Republican.
But a conservative organization like the Ohio Roundtable. And then we've got Progress Ohio coming on in a little while.
Which doesn't get any less.
Exactly. These two organizations don't necessarily agree on a whole lot, and yet they both are falling on the side of this is not what we want to see happening here. It's really interesting to see how people are lining up on this.
But you know
Brian and I talked this morning, and we didn't even agree that today was Monday. we couldn't agree on that.
Then so can I just go home? Listen, Rob Walgate, most Ohioans don't pay much attention to these things. So why should they have a personal stake in it in a legal sense? Why not let the governor just take care of that for him? As Joe Varden said, he ran on this. Isn't that what they elected him for?
Is that what we elected him for? Where does it stop?
They, yeah. Okay.
If there is not accountability in government, what good is it? Do we give our full-hearted trust to whoever we put in the governor's office and the legislature and don't ask them to follow the laws and turn a blind eye to what's happening? The people that are sitting in those positions, I wholeheartedly do not feel they would agree with these actions if someone they disagreed with were there. They wouldn't think they were constitutional. They wouldn't think they were legal. But when they're doing it, sometimes the attitude comes across of, well, we're smarter than all of you. So we can make those decisions. We can make those tough decisions because we know what's best. And that's not good enough. Even if they feel it's the right decision, if it's not a legal one, if it's not an ethical one, it's a decision that should not be made. They took an oath to uphold the law, and I don't believe for 1 minute the role of government is to create private entities and private enterprise, especially ones that aren't transparent and you can't follow the money.
State Auditor Dave Yost was negotiating with the Kasich administration over access to the financial records that he sought, and he did make an offer to them a while back. Joe Varden, can you tell us about that?
He did. This was a while back. It wasn't fairly recent if you're gauging it in terms of days, weeks, or months. So way back several months ago, Auditor Yost made an offer to Governor Kasich's office in which Dave Yost would have full access to audit Jobs Ohio. And his audit would essentially replace or be able to replace the audit that was done by KPMG and subsequently released to the public about 2 weeks ago. And in return for changing the law to grant Dave Yost this access, the results of his audit would not be available to the public for 5 years.
Even if there were problems?
I mean, it's very clear in the offer, and it was a... I about fell out of my chair when I saw that on Friday, late Friday, looking through these documents that we received, just because the whole argument now is over transparency and how transparent should we be with Jobs Ohio. And in attempting to gain this authority, the auditor said, well, we'll keep what we find private for 5 years. It's just
5 years. That's an extraordinary length of time when we're talking about, you know, we're talking about a governor who talks about things moving at the speed of business, and we're talking about lawmakers coming and leaving in that period of time. 5 years is an extraordinary period of time.
It is, and this is what causes people to become indifferent about government and say, well, throw their hands in the air and give up and say, I don't care, because they've been bullied for so long by so many people in elected positions of authority who say they're going to operate differently, but when they get there, they move the envelope further away from the government's, the people's best interest and put it all in the hands of government and then do it, nonetheless, behind closed doors. How is that good for anybody?
LaVon in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. My comment is a line from Rooster Cogburn. Take my money, you wear my brand. In other words, it should be transparent.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. There
is that issue of, we know that AEP has donated $2 million to this because they had to report it, and it's only because, I guess, the dispatch routinely looks at AEP's IRS Securities? How did we find it?
I wouldn't suggest that we routinely, at least I don't routinely look at their information, but I happened to look at their security and exchange filings. And I mean, I don't have any other way to say this other than I stumbled across a $2 million donation from AEP to Jobs Ohio.
But the other entities that have donated money would be like looking for needles in a haystack at this point. And then the idea is they've donated money. No one gets to know who it is. So how does that compare and contrast to how we manage campaign finance reports? In other words, somebody donates money to a campaign. The public has a right to know about it. Why? Because we want to know what influence might be wielded by that.
Well, but there are certain campaign finance laws and certain organizations that can be set up where they don't have to disclose.
True.
And so I think that's maybe a better comparison that, you know, you can disclose to Joe Varden, who's running for something here. But if there's a bigger corporation, I'm thinking of like the Crossroads GPS and some of these bigger groups that don't have to disclose who their donors are. And I think that's really kind of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, Karen's exactly right. That's an excellent point. Is that this is not it's not illegal by any sense of the imagination. And you can just look to a story we had in our paper yesterday about the president's new sort of, I guess, nationwide lobbying group that he's created out of his own campaign. It's now a private entity in which they do not have to disclose their donors. They will. They say they will, but they don't have to. And it's kind of along that. What you said earlier, what's the problem with all this and in terms of transparency and what the public should know? And now that this complicated lease of the liquor province has gone through, presumably we actually will know and do know where all of Jobs Ohio's money comes from. It's about $100 million a year. They don't need private donations anymore. They don't need the state's grants anymore. They actually terminated the contracts for those grants because they've got the $100 million. The problem is that for an entire year of operation, Jobs Ohio did not have access to that money. So it had to fight and scratch and claw to stay open and do this work that it was designed to do. And so how'd they do it? Well, they raise money. We don't know from who. The other thing they did is they essentially created this very, I would say, creative way to get more public money than we thought they were getting by having this money go to a subsidiary that Jobs Ohio took control of, in which the subsidiary with no independent employees, with really no one who didn't work for Jobs Ohio working for this entity, do work that everyone would have thought that Jobs Ohio was supposed to do, and do it with this money that was coming from the state. And then the state could say, well, that money was going to our subsidiary and not to Jobs Ohio.
Now,
there you go.
When I look at the annual report, one thing I felt was missing was that page that says, here's the money we took in, here's where it went out.
Yeah.
The annual report was, I know, what else do you look to an annual report for? I don't know. I missed that one page because there were a lot of figures thrown around, a lot of pictures and anecdotes and that sort of thing. But that one page of here's how much money we took in, here's how much money we spent and where we spent it really seemed to be missing.
Right.
And the important thing is if it's taxpayer dollars, that's what we need to know. If AEP and all these other companies want to give money and no taxpayer dollars go to it and nothing is funded through the taxpayers, create a true private entity and keep the government out of it.
Right. That's exactly right. And the only access that we have to any of Jobs Ohio's financial information does show how much money was taken in. It does show how much money went out. And even vaguely, it shows what it was spent on just in terms of basic categories. But what it doesn't show is what the public money went to and what the private money went to. And theoretically, a Yoast audit would show that. And that's important.
Rob Walgate, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Rob Walgate, he's vice president of the American Policy Roundtable. We'll continue our discussion about Jobs Ohio when we return. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
This is 89.7 NPR News. And stay right here in 20 minutes at 11 o'clock. Hour 2 of All Sides begins with a discussion of creativity and some old-style games. Stay with us for All Sides with Ann Fisher from 11 till noon. And it's 50 degrees with some rain showers. Expect some wind gusts at times as high as 30 miles per hour. We'll see rain throughout the day, a high of 55 degrees. A chance of showers tonight and dropping down to a low of 34. There's a slight chance of some snow showers on Tuesday, and then some rain showers more likely, a high of 41 degrees. A chance of some light snow Tuesday night, dropping down to a low of 29. Support comes from Air Camp, a week-long summer camp that introduces middle school students to the wonders of flight and the science, technology, engineering, and math of aviation. Air Camp students explore Dayton's aviation sites, take flight training, and pilot a plane. Applications are accepted at aircampusa.com. And support comes from ARC Industries, creating employment opportunities for people with disabilities and helping businesses grow their own inclusive workforce. ARC is dedicated to the success of its customers and employees and believes our community is at its best when we are all working together. Online at arcind.com. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. This hour, we've been discussing Jobs Ohio. It's the organization the Kasich administration set up to create jobs in Ohio. It's a private organization, according to the Kasich administration, but it does take in public money. And the question of the transparency of its finances regarding that public money is at issue these days. Still with us is Karen Kassler of Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau and Joe Varden, public affairs reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. Joining us now is Brian Rothenberg. He's the executive director of Progress Ohio, a left-leaning think tank. Progress Ohio currently has a lawsuit pending that questions the constitutionality of Jobs Ohio. Welcome to the show,
well,
Brian.
Well, thank you. It's always good to be back and see you, Ann.
If you have a question or comment for our guests, you're welcome. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Please keep your comments there. Jobs Ohio is a sweeping topic. We're focused right now on access to its records and how it is funded. So try to keep your comments and your questions in that regard. Tell us, Brian Rothenberg, about the lawsuit that is pending against Jobs Ohio.
Well, you know, to borrow from the Grateful Dead, what a long, strange trip this whole thing has been. It's it's been a lawsuit that both Karen and Joe have watched go on for a while. But, you know, here's
when was it filed?
Well, it was first filed in April of 2011, right after it was done, because okay. You had to file within 60 days. You had to file in the Ohio Supreme Court. You had to file. There were about 7 unconstitutional issues. I think it's 8 if you break one out. But we actually won by the Supreme Court kicking us out and saying this doesn't belong in the Ohio Supreme Court. So we won by losing. And that was the first strange trip. And
meaning
I
they didn't say there wasn't a point here. They just said it's
right,
the wrong venue.
Right.
And so you went to a lower court.
So here's the gist of all the different legal trails is this. We are in the Ohio Supreme Court. And there is a pending suit over a discussion over who has the right to sue and whether anybody has the right to sue over Jobs Ohio. It's called standing. And no court has actually ruled on the constitutionality of Jobs Ohio itself. And the problem is that there is an article of the Constitution, Article 3, Section 4. The Ohio Constitution is very clear that the state can't invest in these private corporations. It dates back to scandals from the canal days.
What was the wording that... What does it say? Because...
I can look this up really quickly, but I...
Is this unprecedented then? Is Jobs Ohio absolutely unprecedented?
It is, because since the 1840s, we really haven't had this situation where the state has created a private entity like this. And I can try to look this up.
I don't want to belabor it, but
well, on Brian's lawsuit, I mean it's not the constitutionality argument that Brian has presented. On some levels, they, in essence, got the governor's office to change how Jobs Ohio was set up. There's been a number of changes made since Brian's lawsuit was filed. But over the basic final argument, is it legal to do what they've done? It's Brian doesn't have a slam dunk argument because the state hasn't simply invested in Jobs Ohio. They didn't give them their liquor profits. Jobs Ohio paid for them. There's an actual paper trail for this. So in essence, I mean, the state received or will receive about $1.5 billion for the rights to these liquor profits. So it's not a straight up investment. So that's why his final argument about whether or not it's constitutional, he doesn't have a home run there.
We don't know yet.
Well, yeah, we don't know. I mean, my lawyers think that it's a pretty strong case, and we believe that's why they keep putting the standing argument in front of us. And ironically, I know you just talked to Rob Walgate, but ironically, one of the attorneys that is working with me on this case is Maurice Thompson from the 1851 Constitutional Law Center, which I've actually been on the other side and sued him before over ballot issues.
Strange bedfellows.
Yeah.
Once again.
But, you know, part of the reason for all this is the complication of public money in a private entity. And part of the other reason in this that creates all these problems are this isn't conservative or liberal. I believe this is transactional politics. This is about donors and transactions and winners and losers. And that's why you have this lack of purity when it comes to being conservative or liberal on the issue.
You know, I think probably at this point it's about, I don't know, 10:45, 10:46. So whoever wants to go back and check the transcript, we should say that the Governor Kasich created Jobs Ohio to help out the state with economic development. And since he showed up in office, we as a state are doing better economically than we were before he showed up. So at some level, to some degree, Governor Kasich's, goal of making this place better economically, he is achieving that goal. Is it because of Jobs Ohio? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, that's a longer discussion. But
Can we know if you can't look at what the money's gone to?
Well, I mean, there's some metrics that they release, and a lot of it's based on promises of jobs that will be created. So we have to check on those in a couple years. But we should say that the needle is moving in the right direction economically, and Jobs Ohio has played at least some role in that. But the reason why all of these things, all of these discussions that we've been having all morning are pertinent is because of, like we've said, there is public money involved more than we thought. And there is this component over the last year of who was giving Jobs Ohio money to stay afloat until this liquor profits stream became available.
And then it also becomes the issue you hinted on it there, the whole idea of jobs promised in the future.
Right.
There are some groups like Innovation Ohio and others who say that we don't know if Jobs Ohio has created a single job. These are jobs that could be down the road some way. And so, you know, when you look at that annual report, once again, that there's a lot of numbers in there, but there aren't necessarily specifics of this is how many jobs happened because of this right here, right now.
Well, and until we as a state, public, private, it doesn't matter. Until we as a state stop linking job creation money and job retention money together and say, if we give you money to create a job, you got to show that you created a job. It's not corporate welfare. And job retention is a totally different kind of thing where you're trying to retain jobs, help companies keep those existing jobs, and help do job training for them. You're not going to be able to have this purity where you know how your money's being spent.
Email from Robert writes, the statement made on the program today, which I have heard before, that the people of Ohio have approved of Jobs Ohio because they elected John Kasich as governor, and the platform he ran on said that he would create Jobs Ohio is fallacious.
Well, he had always said, he had talked about Jobs Ohio during the campaign.
He said, Robert goes on to say, there were many planks or promises in his platform, and just because he won the election doesn't mean that the voters approved of this particular plank. Comments, okay,
sure.
But
the governor was, that's one of the things that you can say about Governor Kasich and transparency is he was pretty transparent before he was elected that he wanted to do this. This was one of his campaign strategies.
But even then people were saying, weren't they, this is probably not allowable. Well, the
irony of all this is Speaker Batchelder himself had raised some of the questions about transparency, and many of the legislators actually talked about the need for these audits. And here we are now, and that's totally switched around, and they're protecting the governor on the audits.
And we heard from John Carney, who's a Democrat in the Ohio House. What are other Republicans saying in the legislature other than the Speaker of the House? What is the Senate President, for example, saying about this? Are they concerned?
Yeah, I mean, Senator Faber and his staff, I mean, are pretty straightforward in that they were not aware of these grants that we've reported on, or at least weren't aware of them, of the nature of these grants.
They didn't go through the legislature. They didn't go through the controlling board.
Right, and that's the same if you talk to several high-ranking Republicans who asked not to be named. Simply because I think in some respects they felt bad or felt embarrassed that they didn't know about this and something they need to look at. The man who sponsored House Bill 1, which created Jobs Ohio, Mike Duffy.
From Worthington, right?
Yeah, from Worthington. He will say on the record he didn't know about these grants. He just didn't realize the nature of them and how that all worked.
And by the way, that bill passed with Democrats, some Democrats mm-hmm. supporting it too, over my objection because I thought it was unconstitutional.
And now there's another amendment floating around out there. I've heard it might wind up in the transportation budget bill that would define or clarify what the state auditors.
Yeah, and
the audit, and that's probably going to go to court too because of the whole issue of a single subject rule.
But here's the importance of it: it has to deal with. It's in that bill because of the turnpike and mm-hmm. the turnpike securitization of what they're going to try to do in terms of those future profits, and so this is going to be a much larger issue than Jobs Ohio, and it's going to be much larger than one party or another because there are changes in power in the governor's office all the time. It's about, will we have transparency with public money or quasi-public money now that all this quasi-public money is out there? What will people be able to know? And what, as taxpayers, will we be able to demand accountability for?
Well, let's wait and see. Let's see if they go that route with the transportation bill. I mean, they're saying if we need to clarify, we will. But they say this, and then there's no amendment yet.
Yeah.
So
yeah. We'll see. Well, amendments.
We'll see.
Sneak, come in.
They do.
At all odd hours of the day and night. Email from Michael. He says, I don't understand the liquor profits. Are these profits being directed to a pseudo-private entity? Is liquor a state agency? So, okay, liquor's a state agency. Mm-hmm. They sell the wholesale liquor. They sell it wholesale. They get profits from that.
Yeah.
The profits are being sold.
Securitized over 25 years is what it.
The same thing that we did with the tobacco money that we got from the tobacco settlement a couple years ago.
Right. Securitized over 25 years after all other things are spent, all the money spent on all other kinds of things that it's promised for, whatever is left over goes to Jobs Ohio. That's ostensibly
it went to pay off other debts because of the shift of the privatization of the old Department of Development, but yes, general.
In general, it'll wind up to be about $100,000 a year.
No, $100 million.
$100 million. $100 million dollars a year.
Yeah. $100 million a year. I mean, that's after, again, you pay off your debt obligations, mm-hmm. and there's about 40 plus million that they owe to the state on a yearly basis, I believe, for an environmental, revitalization program. But yeah. That's what they expect.
Auditor of State Dave Yost has issued a subpoena, which has become necessary because there's no other way. The Kasich administration has so far not responded. There's a March 19th deadline. Any magic in that, or is it just so people can have a good time on St. Patrick's Day without having to worry about this?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have Jackets tickets on the 19th, and I think they're doing this.
Pretty much. And then let's talk a little bit about the litigation. It's
sure.
Where is it right now, and what are you predicting going forward at this point?
So it is in the Supreme Court right now, and the issue before it, this issue of standing, the right to sue, is not just important only on this case. For instance, Rob Walgate and the Roundtable have an issue that they have before an appellate court right now over how the Racino money is being spent. Racino money, the gambling over at the racetracks, is actually going to the lottery, which ironically is paying for, I believe, vouchers in this budget or proposed budget. So it's kind of gambling profits that'll pay for the voucher expansion, which I think is, in and of itself is kind of Machiavellian. But if we don't win on standing, nobody has the right to sue over this issue. If we win on standing, then it goes all the way back to the trial court again and then goes and works its way through the trial, appellate, and Supreme Court again. So the interesting thing is the state did, I was somewhat surprised, they went forward and sold the bonds. They went forward and transferred the money. This after their own commerce director had refused to transfer the money before. So Jobs Ohio sued Kasich's commerce director. And the Supreme Court then kicked it back.
And that was yes, this was David Goodman. I think that was an effort to try to get the Supreme Court to actually make a ruling definitively. It at first it looked kind of wacky, but it sure seemed like it was a planned stunt, so to speak.
Right, and they could have gone back to the trial court, which would have actually determined this to begin with. So now you've got a situation where they went forward and sold it anyways, even though they had this commerce director who at one point said that he was concerned about it, not concerned about Jobs Ohio, he disagreed with our lawsuit, but concerned about the controversy. That's why I said this has had a lot of long, strange trips
and about how the bonds would sell given the controversy.
But the governor made it clear in several speeches in the last couple of days that he really wanted to get this money out there, and I think he said we're in an era of cheap money and wants to get these out there. There's another thing that's happening today that I want to drop in real quickly. The controlling board meets today, and that's a panel that kind of approves some of these requests. And Representative Chris Redfern, who's also the head of the Ohio Democratic Party, has asked for a hold on any other development department, DSA, Development Services Agency, requests before the controlling board because of all this. So this is continuing on even with money that doesn't directly relate to Jobs Ohio.
Because DSA is the conduit.
That's the other agency that partners with Jobs Ohio that does other things like, as Joe said earlier in the program, winterization.
Okay, so sometimes it is feeling a little complicated, but maybe that means we'll just have to get together again. But basically, Jobs Ohio is up in the air still. Well,
and also, there's supposed to be a big announcement on Wednesday about Jobs Ohio and some of the things it's been working on. So that should be interesting.
Jobs in Ohio.
Jobs in Ohio, not Jobs Ohio.
This is a Mary Taylor show.
Okay.
I apologize.
Well, Karen Kassler, thanks for joining us again. Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau. Also, Joe Varden, reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. And Brian Rothenberg of the Progress Ohio. Thanks, Brian, for joining us today.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.